This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. Back on the show, Eric Bickford from MacWeb. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Just since we talked last, we've just seen Apple, two things happening. Apple to continue to build some incredible hardware, particularly around Apple Silicon. And we've also really seen the data center industry continue to be just growing, but also like challenging in terms of getting things deployed, getting, you know, there's only so many machines to deploy. You're seeing lots of talk about RAM costs skyrocketing. So obviously just hot industry. For just to start, if a listener is not familiar with MacWeb, can you give us like the high level of what you guys do and what kind of customers you serve?
Absolutely. So MacWeb is an internet cloud service provider, primarily leveraging Apple hardware. So we're talking the Apple Mac Mini, the Apple Mac Studio, and doing that in individual units for customers, typically in the CI/CD space, iOS developers, macOS developers, teams that need a shared compute in the cloud, because often people on engineering teams need to share resources in the cloud. And so we provide that infrastructure for them to do that quickly and easily on demand.
Now, recent news from your team back in November is about a new U.S. East region. You know, obviously, that's the challenge for data centers. You want to get, you know, more locations, better redundancy, better latency. So can you talk about what you all built and deployed in the New York metro area?
Absolutely. So first of all, I will say that when you're talking about iOS developers, Mac developers, top of mind for them is latency and speed and performance. And so that's top of mind. And so we have currently had a data center on the U.S. West Coast in Silicon Valley. We've been operating for 5 years now, but just now we've launched our U.S. East data center for the New York metro area, located here in Secaucus, New Jersey. And this allows us to provide high-performance, low-latency connectivity to the major internet service providers and hyperscalers like AWS in the region.
Well, I don't think when Apple deployed M1 back in 2020, like I foresaw, we didn't foresee like the AI workloads coming, but then you're just seeing this like continuous cloud migration to the cloud. And again, the people that, oh, this has been going on for 15 years. Like, you have no idea in some ways how things slowly move in IT. Like, there are still cloud migrations going on. But then just the way development workflows have changed, remote work, there's tons of just like variables that have happened that has made Apple like a really nice player here. In a world where like you just can't get hardware deployed. What do you, from the next like 24 months, like how do you see Apple playing a role in this massive data center build out worldwide for AI workloads and development workloads?
Well, right now, I mean, the 2020 release of the Apple Silicon Max was a game changer for the entire industry. And the entire industry also caught on to the innovations that Apple is pushing with their hardware engineering. And right now, there's a real shortage, lack of available, for example, NVIDIA GPUs. And also the pricing is a real issue for many of the people doing AI workloads. And so what we are actually finding right now, before I get into going forward, is that because of the commodity nature of Apple hardware, where it's actually available and at commodity hardware prices, that the engineering teams are actually doing the economics, running the numbers, and finding out that they can actually provide the workloads and compute necessary for different projects using inexpensive Apple hardware like Mac Minis and Mac Studios, and now actually largely in volume too. So you know, we'll get customers with needing 100 machines, and our expertise is the efficient allocation and installation and deployment of this hardware for customers at scale. And going forward, I know Apple has seen the light and is putting actually more effort into their next generation of hardware, I'm pretty sure. That's my expectation. And I think what we'll see going forward is Apple's silicon actually creating generational leaps in performance to provide their own footprint in the AI space.
One of the things that feels like a trend is this talk of like, okay, we've got all this money in SaaS cloud. You know, obviously, like AWS is great, Google Cloud is great, Azure is great. They all do a great job, a lot of redundancy. But you know, like over time, you get more room reliant on these vendors. From costs can get out of control. But then, so there's like this quiet like middle ground. That, I mean, nobody like you know. Insert company that maybe has like 5,000 employees, building your own quote unquote data center is probably not like from a capital perspective feasible even to do or makes sense. But on the flip side, you're seeing companies not like just want this continuous black box of like cloud charges, and like it obviously goes up over time using. So you're kind of like in this middle ground of like, are there middle grounds between the big three cloud providers and like us putting bare hands on metal day to day? When does it make sense to like look at, you know, a company that's maybe not the big three but still can offer like incredible redundancy?
Well, bottom line is that iOS developers, Mac developers, AI developers, they actually don't want to deal with the hardware. And so when they're wanting to, they just want to focus on software. They don't want to deal with the hardware. And so we're providing that niche, and it's kind of like a middle ground where they don't have to have the Apple hardware on premise. They don't have to go with a more expensive hyperscaler. They can leverage Mac Web and our focus on efficient deployments of these compute nodes for them. And that's what we're finding is that they really look at the numbers and see that some developers are deploying just for the CPU. Others might be needing the GPU. And because of the high performance of ARM-based Apple Silicon, they're able to get the performance and nodes. Sometimes they don't need raw compute. They just need instances, multiple instances. And that is a great niche for us to provide as well.
Well, and I think that raw hardware is a fair point. I mean, that's, you know, you can say like, look, you have access to these extra machines. We're not, this isn't a giant cluster. We're giving you just a VM. Like this is a dedicated hardware. Like this is, you know, your compute to use. And, you know, I think there's a lot to that. And then also, but like having the full admin control of the machine, available bandwidth, like it is kind of like that. It feels like that middle ground or these, not, I don't even want to say like smaller data centers, but like maybe more customized environments that can really lock into like, hey, we actually just need this compute on these machines on demand. Maybe you need them for a quarter. Maybe your development's, you know, picking up. There's just a lot there too that it doesn't feel these Mac focused data centers have felt more like a counterpart than just like a black box cloud environment. Am I reading that right in terms of how your customers see you all?
Yeah, we're seen more as a bare metal provider. So like I was saying before, is that developers and when they go to production, they're focused on software. That's their main focus. And so if we can handle the hardware infrastructure for them, in terms of internet connectivity, we have 10G internet ports. We have different configurations of our Mac Minis and Mac Studios that they can choose what configuration is best for them. But it really, bottom line is it comes down to economics. They look at the numbers and what the costs are versus other providers, and the availability of hardware in the cloud that they don't have to touch themselves. They want to focus on the software. That's the bottom line.
Well, again, you want the power of that software without, again, it just, you want that scalability too. You know, again, I've been blown away by the last 5 years of Apple Silicon. You know, I think there's this, like, you know, it's like the new shiny thing, like the M4, and then obviously you're seeing like M5 start to, you know, be something of a discussion. Do you feel like the longevity of Apple Silicon is going to be there for developers, where, you know, if you went all in on, you know, an M2 Mac Mini, an M3 Mac Mini, it doesn't, in my opinion, feel like you're going to like feel the crunch, you know, 2 years from now. Like, you could still be, you know, even though there may be a newest, latest, greatest, gosh, it was so good. Those kind of maybe older technologies are still so incredible. You know, how do you feel like that longevity happens? And then how do you see this, you know, going in the future? Like, are we going to see like Apple kind of build features of macOS that support these type of environments? Where do you think this is going?
Well, right now the word is that the newest version update of Tahoe, for example, includes better MLX support, which is for the AI space, and to get much faster compute. So Apple is working both on the software side and on the hardware side to improve and make their presence known in the AI space. So,
well, this feels, I mean, like an easy win from Apple. I mean, if you think of Apple's incentives are, hey, we want to sell, Apple loves to sell hardware, so they make the most money. And they are still, I've said this to a few people, that you really saw Apple's control of supply chains during COVID, when it was like, I felt like they could get large deployment shipped when like other vendors couldn't. And it's because they really owned that end-to-end supply chain as well. It just feels like they can, you know, in a world where like companies are struggling to get compute, to get RAM, Apple having this like tight-knit supply chain ecosystem is really paying off, because they can, you know, if you want a large order of Mac Minis, you can get them and get them deployed. And gosh, the power in that form factor is kind of incredible.
Well, I mean, Tim Cook, you know, his logistics expertise is filtered throughout the entire company. So you're going to see hardware that is delivered on time typically, and schedules that they meet schedules. And so, I mean, because they're a $4 trillion company, you know, they have the supply chains locked up for many years in advance. And so basically Apple becomes the first priority to TSMC, for example, and everybody else is secondary.
Well, I saw some meme. It was like, I really wish Apple would copy the industry pricing for RAM. And someone said, you got what you wanted, but you just didn't know what you're asking for. Because, again, Apple's kind of always had a little bit more premium on some of these things, and the industry's just catching up to it. Looking like, obviously, we're here at the end of the year. Is there anything exciting that's on the Mac Web roadmap? And then second question, is if you were to like build, like you say, if you had Tim Cook's ear and say like, hey, if the Mac Mini or the Mac Studio had this from a hardware perspective, it would be incredible. So what's on your roadmap that you can share? I know sometimes you can't share that. And then like, what's your dream addition to one of Apple's smaller desktops?
Well, our roadmap right now is to introduce some new cluster products. So that'll make it easier for developers to go out of the box and get the cluster compute that they need. That's something on tap here shortly. And what was the other question?
It was basically like, if you were to, you know, is there something in it? And if you don't have a great answer, because I know I kind of put you on the spot, but like, if you were to have it, something that's like a dream addition to the Mac Mini or the Mac Studio from a hardware point of view that would, you know, maybe, you know, something just changed the way the hardware built, like, you know, would make y'all's life, you know, unlock new opportunities or make the managing of all this hardware even better. Is there something, you know, maybe a built-in battery into the Mac Mini for power failover, things like that? Is there any dream addition to those machines that you would love to see?
Well, I think it's less on the hardware side and more on the software side, where you have solutions like MLX distributed that is kind of a competitor to CUDA, for example. So, you know, Apple's attacking both the software and the hardware side. I know there's rumors about what Apple's doing next with their high-end Apple Silicon, where they're possibly, the rumors are, breaking out the GPU from the CPU. And I'll leave it to the engineers at Apple that they're, you know, second to none to figure out how to improve the performance and efficiency. What we're happy with.
It's incredible hardware. That's the thing. It's just incredible hardware that for the price point, that stock Mac Mini is, you look at it, and it's shocking how good it is.
Well, especially for the price. I mean, that's what we're seeing is that, you know, these engineering teams, do they run the numbers and they see the cost effective situation of deploying, you know, hundreds of base M4 Mac Minis, for example. And compared to, you know, having to go with a hyperscaler or other cloud service provider that maybe is running a traditional Intel solution, right? So we're just seeing it as a matter of fact, is that they're just running the numbers and the economics make sense to them.
Yeah, someone that's been around long enough to watch Apple from being like the premium, and then seeing like what this Mac Mini cost. I mean, I still remember when the first Mac Mini launched and it was like $499, and then all these years later, the base Mac Mini is $599. Like, I mean, it probably has been 20 years since the first Mac Mini launched. And I think this goes, and this is not that Apple's like, oh, they've just cut their margins and they're selling stuff at near break-even cost. Like, no, they've just been able to control the entire supply chain, and they've been able to really get streamlined. And then on the flip side, PC costs have gone up, number one, on the low end. But again, like a low end PC compared to the low end Mac Mini, you just can't get the Apple Silicon power in anything on the PC side for the price, in my opinion or my experience.
Well, I think the real story here is that traditionally Apple has been known for their design aesthetics. You know, GUI, their Mac OS software, but with Apple Silicon, all of a sudden, the topic of discussion becomes their engineering expertise on the hardware side, and it's not to be taken lightly, because what they've done is incredible on the hardware side. And so we're not talking about necessarily Mac OS anymore, or just GUI design stuff. We're talking about low level hardware engineering at the silicon level.
Yeah. Well, and again, this was a 20-year play. I mean, you can go back to Apple's struggles on the PowerPC and that Intel transition, and this was probably at some point along the way, this was like, we're going to have to do this, because they probably could see the writing on the wall a little bit. And again, it controls your cost. I mean, you just long-term, the Tim Cook doctrine is kind of owning your primary technologies, and the silicon is a primary technology, and they're just doing incredible work. Eric, again, killer work on this new region. I think that's a huge transition for Mac Web. Getting, you know, again, it's opening up more opportunities to make incredible use of this power, and in a time period where like cloud costs are feeling like black boxes for a lot of enterprises, and I think companies like Mac Web give you that more control and a transparent model, but in a way that you, again, like you said, developers don't want to deal with the hardware. You can manage the software environment, but like you can still, that's ultimately what people don't want to deal with, is the hardware. And oftentimes you just don't have the space to do it. You got the power requirements, the security requirements. That's a challenge. And I think that's like where the Mac Web and Apple Silicon come together with a really nice story. So yeah, killer work on that. Anything else before we sign off on, you know, what you're excited about for next year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, we're working on cluster solutions. That's forthcoming, and we'll have more announcements shortly on that.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, Eric, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Great. Thank you.